All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Utah Liberty Talk. This is David, TR4 Freedom. We're going season two. This is episode two. And today I'm going to be talking about marriage and the government, because this is something that, you know, it's been a problem for a while. And this is something that's, you know, been brought to my attention that this has been a problem in multiple areas. So it's something that I'm going to talk about today. And we might get into some sensitive subjects here, particularly, I think the most sensitive one probably being, I don't know, I guess it depends on who you are. We'll see. Nothing bad, of course. I mean, this is, I'll just shut up. Okay, just, and don't ask any questions yet. Just listen to me. I know you guys, anyways. Thank you all for listening so much. Political dysfunction up and running. Actually just recorded the first episode with Hunter. Tonight's the 18th, so hopefully that'll get published tonight. This episode of Utah Liberty Talk, I'm recording it on Thursday. This is going to be published on Sunday. And that's the plan, publishing every other Sunday for Utah Liberty Talk. And then we'll have it on Thursdays for Political Dysfunction. Hunter's going to be having his podcast, The America That We've Been Given. So you guys, there's going to be tons of content on this network. You know, new episodes coming every week. So you guys are, you know, you guys are gonna in for a good amount of content coming up. Hunter and I are also going to be doing some videos and stuff on YouTube when the time comes, some articles, so on and so forth. And it's getting, you know, built, it's getting bigger. If you haven't checked out the website yet, I put a lot of time into it and I put money into it, damn it. So go check out the website if you haven't yet, because I think it actually looks pretty cool. It actually looks pretty decent. I don't know, I could be wrong. So let me know if you guys think I'm full of it, but I think it looks pretty cool. So check out the website, give us some feedback. How's the podcast doing? How am I doing? Am I shitty or am I good? How's the website look? You know, did you order any of our products? Do you like any of our products? What are the benefits of being a Patreon subscriber? So on and so forth. So, you know, check out the website, see what kind of stuff you can get involved in. You know, we've got some really cool benefits and compensation for people that are willing to donate time and money to certain causes that we've got going on. And so on and so forth. So without further ado, I'm gonna get right into talking about this whole marriage thing. And first of all, I'm gonna try and break it up into chunks here, but you guys know how I roll. I barely go with any notes, and I don't even have notes today. This is hopefully gonna be close to a 30-minute episode. So we will see how long it is, and how long I can ramble on about the government and marriage for. But that's the outline for today. That's the outline for today's episode. So the first thing I wanted to talk about, given, you know, we're talking about, you know, government getting involved in marriage is gay marriage. And, you know, that's something that, Utah, I'm actually not sure, when Utah exactly legalized gay marriage, because I was actually living in Utah. Some of you guys may know, I moved a little bit when I was a teenager. So in Utah, it was recognized in 2013. And Utah was the last state to recognize gay marriage. This is directly correlated undeniably with the Mormon Church. And anyone that tries to deny that would be lying to themselves. I'm not even an advocate against the Mormon Church, being a former Mormon. But this is a duh one. And if you try and deny it, you're lying to yourself and everyone you talk to about it. Gay marriage is something that, you know, when you talk about, you know, the freedom of the United States of America, it's bewildering that gay marriage even had to be some sort of conversation, because it's like, hello, isn't this supposed to be the land of the free? Like, that's kind of freaking stupid. You're saying these guys can't get married or whatever. And you talk about the constitutionality of it, you know, having the Supreme Court, you know, overrule, you know, Utah's feeling on gay marriage, you know. And honestly, it's one of those things that technically, you know, Utah's ruling, even though it was ruled unconstitutional, hence the 10th Amendment, Utah's ruling was technically constitutional, even though the court overturned it as unconstitutional. But one of the things that gives us this kind of leeway and gives the courts this kind of leeway in determining whether these things are constitutional or not, the biggest factor seems to be social, paradigms. And, you know, that's it's something else within itself that, you know, the court shouldn't be affected by social paradigms. But, you know, there's historical context surrounding gay marriage that, you know, pretty much says that, like, hey, although the Constitution says 10th Amendment, you know, marriage is delegated to the states, there are certain principles that, you know, the federal government has a job to maintain. And one of the reasons that we do have a federal government is to maintain principles of freedom, despite the fact that factions may arise in states and oppress minorities. Gay people being one of those minorities that could possibly and potentially be oppressed by the states, the federal government's duty is to draw a line in the sand and say, this is what every American's, you know, this is the freedom of every American's. These are the foundations of the rights of every American. So, you know, you have some historical context given George Washington, you know, being the commander in chief of the Continental Army in the Revolutionary War, hired a extremely prestigious general from France who did a very good job as a general and did a very good job in the United States. Now, he was, I guess, fired from the French military because he was gay. And, you know, to me, that pretty much sets the tone for, you know, what America's about. Like, this is the place where you can come to and you don't got to worry about being discriminated by stuff like that. Like, this is the land of opportunity. This is the land of freedom. This is the land of individual rights. So I, to me, it really sets the tone on what America is supposed to be. And the fact that it took until 2013 for all of our states to have this legalized when it should have been a given from the start. I mean, obviously there's stuff that happens in this nation that, you know, we can't all be a fan of. There's anti-liberty things that have happened in this nation. Gay marriage being one of those struggles, you know, it should have been a struggle we never had. You know, fundamentally, if you look at it this way, you know, there is I mean, marriage should be something that is not affected by the state, so far as all parties are consenting adults. And you know, and you're not going to catch me. You're not going to catch me on that adult thing. You know, oh, the libertarians, you know, whatever with the age of consent, bull crap. That's non-compromise for me. I don't compromise on the age of consent. So, sorry about that one. Every age of consent should be 18 years old. And, you know, for those who are not under 18, they shouldn't, you know, anyone over. That's listen, I think there's a certain age that, you know, where we need to start, you know, delegating adult responsibility as well as adult privileges. You know, and I think that we need to choose an age and stick with that age. So if it's 18, it's 18. If it's 21, it's 21. But we need to, as a society, pick an age and stick with that age. Not that I think that the government should necessarily determine that kind of thing. Ideally, you know, you'd have a societal structure that's strong enough to avoid these kind of conversations and issues. And in many ways, it does. But, you know, these kind of marriages should be, I mean, traditionally, marriage is delegated to the religion. And, you know, that brings up a question, you know, because it's like, oh, what if you're not religious and you want to get married? You know, well, if, you know, you have a partnership with someone, I mean, like me, I don't ever want to get, like, I have a hard time wanting to get the government involved in much of anything in my life, but you know, there's this, you know, it's just, why would you want, I mean, if there wasn't marriage, would you, in as the terms that we know it today, would you make it the way it is today? Like, would you want the government to have the kind of influence that they have with it? Because my answer would be no. My answer would be like, I think that marriage should be determined, and marriage relationships can only be determined by those who are in it. I mean, you can't look at anyone else's relationship and think you know what's going on. You know, I mean, it's like the Alan Jackson song, you know, who's cheating who? I mean, you know, you can never really tell the story of a woman and a man, especially when you're not in it. So, you know, how can the government set a standard and a definition for marriage that applies to all people equally? If you know, and so traditionally it's been delegated to the religions and stuff like that, or to the individual persons, as it should be. You know, so far as you can find someone to marry you, that should be, you know, it. The only reason that, you know, it makes sense to get married, I wouldn't say like to have a partner or anything, but one of the biggest, you know, incentives to get married is, you know, taxes and you know, buying houses and so on and so forth. These are all processes that are made more difficult by government if you're not married. And so, in a sense, they're basically trying to force you into buying into, their system of what they deem as marriage. Is a domestic partnership not marriage by soul? I mean, if you're not, I mean, it's all, and of course, every relationship has its own aspects. You can have an open relationship. That doesn't mean that you're not married. So it's stupid to have the government set these kind of terms and definitions for marriage. When that clearly can't apply to everyone. Everyone's got their own individual personal preferences, and everyone's got their own ways that they would want their relationships done. So the fact that there's an overall legal standard for it is absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the tax ins well, what about the tax incentives? And should do you think that it should be, we should get rid of those, tax incentives for people that are married, considering that it's incentive to get married? And my answer is taxation is theft, and we wouldn't have a problem anyways. And I'll relate this to immigration, which will probably be my next episode, as I'm probably going to dissect the libertarian stance on immigration and compare it historically to much of the context of the founding fathers. But we'll save that for the different episode. So yeah, I mean, you talk about the fundamental principles of marriage. It's something that the government shouldn't be allowed to define. And we've seen through Jim Crow laws, and we've seen through bans of interracial marriage, that when you allow the government, whether that's, and this is government as an entity, not necessarily state versus federal government, but when you let government as an entity in any capacity define marriage or set the parameters on which marriage is upon, you open it up to societal manipulation. And when you have these paradigm shifts in societies to where, you're talking about a time where people thought it was okay to tell people they couldn't get married because of what their skin color was, when it had absolutely nothing to do with them. These are the kind of societal paradigms that should not interfere with the principles of liberty this nation was founded on. And when you get the government involved in stuff like marriage and so on, it basically opens the door for this kind of manipulation, to where people who are a part of these social movements and social paradigms are going to try and use the government to, make those changes in racially, racial marriage. And you also see this when you talk about schools and the segregation of schools. It's the fact that the government gets involved in these things opens it up to the vulnerability of manipulation by these social paradigms. Because for whatever reason, whether that be evangelical Christians, or whether that be progressive leftists, or national socialists, I mean, you all national socialists, I don't know if I said that wrong the first time. I'm thinking faster than my mouth can move here. But regardless, I mean, these social paradigms love, for whatever reason, love to use the government to, enforce these changes that happen in the way that our society views these kinds of things. So it's something that shouldn't be involved and shouldn't be taken over by government in order to avoid, these kind of manipulations. All right, open these blinds a little bit. The sun's setting, and I don't like the lighting on my face, even though you guys probably won't ever see this video. I am recording a video right now, and maybe I'll post it on Utah Liberty Talk. I don't know. Depends on how ugly I decide I look. Or, I mean, YouTube. Yeah, Utah Liberty Talk doesn't have any YouTube episodes out right now, and that's something that it's going to happen at some point in time. Y'all just hang in there. I just think that I have to be in a position where I'm presentable enough to want to show my face while I'm recording this. And it might be a scenario, I don't know. I got the he was his name was Duncan Limp shirt on, and that's something. If I screw it, I might post this as a video, I don't know. I don't know, I guess you'll see. It's a surprise, right? Anyway, so we talk about racial segregation of marriage, and that's another example of these kind of paradigms that, you have the government enforcing these new kind of social changes and social constructs. And that's also something that we, saw with the Mormon Church and polygamy. But granted, I'm not going to excuse the historical facts of the ways that Joseph Smith and Brigham Young violated the rights of other people, or God forbid we talk about marrying minors. But polygamy in and itself, and I think that I saw, I could be totally wrong about this. I could be spewing shit out of my ass. But I think at one point in time, I saw that either Massachusetts as a state or a city or a county in Massachusetts had legalized polygamy. And I mean, honestly, like, why shouldn't polygamy be illegal? Or why should polygamy be illegal? Why shouldn't it be illegal? If, all parties are consenting adults, don't they have the right to marry who they want? I mean, I see no issue. Now, granted, me, I could never do it. Like one, woman in my life like that is plenty. That I don't want any more. Like, I'm good. That's not for me. But granted, like, if you're like my great grandpa, that man's was a doctor and clearly was a total freaking pimp because he had seven wives. So, I mean, if, hey, man, if that's what you want to do, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do that. I want people to be able to be transgender in whatever way that they want, to be able to marry as many other transgenders and as it, there's no reason why people shouldn't be allowed to have these polygamous marriages or bigamous marriages or anything like that. I mean, it's not the government's responsibility to say, oh, you have to stick with this one person your whole life. And there are many people that make the claim that monogamy isn't for humans. Now I disagree personally, but that's just me. I mean, I live my own life my way, and that's okay. That's what this country's about. You can feel free to marry one person or freaking 10 people so far as they're all consenting adults. So it's like, why does the government, feel, I mean, there's always some sort of, I mean, when you introduce the idea of government getting involved in marriage, to different places, it's really kind of like it forces it to be marriage's only official capacity. And that's in a lot of ways, things are mainly only official if the government is the one that's recognizing it or instilling it or putting it into place or whatever. And it's a challenging question on how we would, well, how would someone be officially married, if it if the government wasn't there to officiate it. And then it's like, well, I don't, can someone feel like they're married and essentially be married? I or a partnership, or I mean, it's like anyone can choose to label that relationship between them and the people that they're in that relationship with. Like they can unite, like they can choose how to name it or label it however they want. But essentially, you're gonna have these kind of issues like taxes when you're married, or these stimulus checks, or buying a house. These kind of problems will more often than not solve themselves, when you remove government from this kind of capacity. When you remove the government from marriage, you're basically removing the government's ability to create tax incentives to be married. And I guess, well, it's the only way that you really could do it without having any, negative downplays. And that's one thing that, seems to happen in a lot of ways is, in terms of taking apart and, dismantling some of the things that our government's done, like this marriage, it's like, or immigration per se, right? And you'll hear me talk about this in the immigration thing. So I'm not going to use that example. I'll stick to the marriage thing. But it's like, when you have, it's like a Jenga tower. And that's how I always like to compare, dismantling and minimizing our government. It's like your pawn blocks out of a Jenga tower. And unfortunately, this is an entity that our society has a very major portion of it built on. I mean, the government is the largest employer in the nation. The federal government employs millions and millions of Americans. So, it's we can't just swipe out the tower. I mean, it's all gonna collapse and it's all gonna fall down. Got to take out pieces at a time. You can't just start pulling blocks willy-nilly, and you certainly can't, say, that the like to me, it would seem like if we were to essentially remove government from marriage, but we weren't to cancel taxation at the same time, you would have the government basically forcing people to pay more taxes if they don't buy into their system of officiated marrying. And if you don't remove the taxes along with it, you're basically going to create an even worse, I wouldn't necessarily say even worse because it's all potential, but you could potentially create a situation that's even worse to where you're losing money if you're not buying into this government thing of marriage. And of course, there's ways, that that's still going on today, but it essentially, like I said, opens up that door for that kind of manipulation by the government. So, I basically, and this, I'm a bit short on, I'm a bit, I'm a little bit short here, and I'm about 10 minutes short of where I want to be. I was hoping to hit around 30 minutes, and I got done talking about a little bit about each one of these little things, particularly interracial marriage, gay marriage, and polygamy. Those are the three main topics I wanted to hit on in terms of talking about the way that the government interferes and has regulated marriage in specific ways. And I think we've come to the point of recognizing, and to the point to where the government doesn't interfere with gay marriage and interracial marriage before. But you know me, you know the show. This is built upon principles, and there was time where this did happen, and so I'm comparing it to now a situation where the government will regulate polygamy or bigamy or just marriage in general. So that's what it's built on. It's built on those principles of like, hey, if the government's interfering with marriage, then you're basically going to see people be financially hurt if they're not married, something that I'm experiencing right now. It's much more difficult for me to do my taxes. I can't write off nearly as much because I'm not married to my partner. And there are tons of other people that see that too. There's tons of people that are like me. What I don't want is to get married and then basically have the government, because the government, in terms of marriage and in terms of custody, I mean, they stick their nose in other people's relationships where it need not be due. What I'm not trying to do is like get married and then have the government say that I gotta like give half my paycheck to someone, or have these certain restrictions or rules you gotta abide by. And it's just what happens when you have the government in charge of stuff, is it ends up sucking. I mean, and that's what, the government screws up everything it touch. But so, there are people that are suffering because of the way that the government does marriage. There's people, you say love is love. Well, who are you to say that someone can't love multiple people? And you have the government that's interfering with that. And I mean, essentially, it's, I don't know. To me, it seems weird that like people can have open relationships, and essentially like polygamy is that with a little bit more commitment. Like it's more like of a like a limited open relationship. And to me, it's like it would make more sense if the government were to make adultery illegal than polygamy. To me, it's like polygamy should be more legal than adultery, in my opinion. Because I mean, you arguably have a victim with adultery that you don't with polygamy. So at least there's some, and that's something I don't believe in. I think that that's something that's, again, between the two individuals, and that's something that can't be defined broadly like that. So it's saying that adultery is one thing or isn't one thing, or plays out one way or doesn't play out one way, it's arbitrary, and it's something that can't be applied, and I'll acknowledge that. But I'm just saying, like, I think that, like, in principle, like, you're arguably going to have a victim in terms of adultery, but not in polygamy. In polygamy, they're all consenting to that kind of situation. And if a guy wants to marry another girl and she's not okay with it, well, she can divorce herself from that marriage. She didn't have to be a part of that. But when you talk about adultery and you have basically a said commitment between the people, I mean, you can't tell me there's no victim in cheating on your spouse when they're not okay with it. And with that being said, I just think that principally, like, polygamy absolutely should be legal, and that's without a question. And if you ask me, I think that their common sense would there'd be other things that would make more sense regulating than polygamy. Not to say that they should be, but that's just how much I don't think polygamy. I mean, to me, it's absolutely stupid that you're not gonna let, consenting adults get married in that kind of way. I guess I bought myself like 5 more minutes there rambling on about that. So that's good. And I think that I, pretty much, maybe I want to hit on the separation of church and state too, real quick, because That's something that the founders were very avid about when they were, you know, laying out these principles that this nation was built on, is, you know, something that's separation of church and state. And, you know, if you traditionally in that, you know, in that context, most of the marriaging that was happening at the time was done through religion. So essentially, you will never have a true separation of church and state if you delegate marriage, if you allow, you know, religions, which of course will always be allowed to marry, if you allow religions and state to, you know, set these boundaries for marriage, or you allow individuals and the state to set these boundaries for marriage, you essentially indefinitely, undisputably have a constant cause correlation between church and state. There's no separation there if, you know, they both get to establish these kind of boundaries on these issues. And, you know, that's where you start to have issues like we saw in Utah with gay marriage. And clearly, there, I mean, clearly, although, and this is why the Constitution's a flawed document, you know, technically, like I said, 10th Amendment, you know, hence the 10th Amendment, technically, Utah's ruling was constitutional because through the Constitution, marriage was delegated to the states. But the Constitution's kind of a weak document in some areas. And, you know, this is one of the flaws that we see through the weakness of the document. So you have other historical contexts and principles that basically, in my opinion, overrule the Constitution. Because the Constitution is an illegal regime. It was strong-armed in. Articles of Confederation said it needed to be unanimous, and it wasn't. That being said, ignoring, you know, I'm not going to go into a rant about why the Constitution is kind of a weak document. But the point still stands that, you know, you see these kind of flaws because the principles weren't adequately put out. And, you know, of course, when it comes to the principles of freedom in this nation, you can manipulate the Constitution however you want. Well, you know, Utah, you know, it's a state, and, you know, 10th Amendment says all other things can be delegated to states. And it's like, yeah, but this is an overall, it's one of those overall lines in the sand that, you know, every American has this freedom. That's part of what being a state in this nation is acknowledging that you have a certain, you know, you have a job as a state to recognize specific rights that citizens have. And that's what it means to be a part of the United States of America as a state, is that, you know, we are all willing to recognize this overall line in the sand of, you know, what rights Americans have. And there are stronger principles than picking out, I mean, separation of church and state, massive, absolutely massive for the founding fathers. Of course, I mean, of course, that in itself, even without any other historical principles, shows that, you know, this kind of allowing the government to define and determine and set these parameters for marriage can go very wrong. And, you know, we've seen that in many, you know, in these kind of instances. So hopefully that helps draw clear, especially those of you who may be passionate about, you know, the legalization of gay marriage, or you know, even polygamy, or just marriage in general. You know, maybe it's not a fun topic for some people. But overall, you know, we see the effects trickle down, where the government gets to influence and set parameters for marriage, then the government gets to influence and set parameters for custody of children. And, you know, it trickles down into this giant web of the government being in places it doesn't need to be, seeping into these cracks to where, you know, these basically these gaps are in the system. So with that being said, I'm gonna wrap up this episode, and we're getting closer to the mark here. Look at this, with this little outro, got a minute 15 left. Look at that. So able to make it work, able to draw it out a little bit. Make sure you check out the website, please. Seriously, I put a lot of work into it. I put money into it, and I think it looks good, but you let me know if you think otherwise. Like, hey, dude, this kind of looks like trash. You need to change the font. Or, like, you know, I mean, whatever. I want to hear the feedback. I want to hear the feedback. Give me the feedback. I want the smoke, guys. Give me the smoke. Thank you guys for listening so much to this episode. Next episode should be coming out, what, next Sunday or something like that? I don't know. So this one will be scheduled for this Sunday. I'm gonna be getting an episode out. I mean, like, my goal is like every other Sunday, and that will remain consistent. But you may catch like an extra episode within a week, or like maybe I'll hit 2 Sundays in a row. So you know, you guys are gonna be getting, you know, steady content and stuff like that, and it's gonna be good. Hopefully the quality of this recording is a lot better than what I've done before. I'm using a new platform to record it. Shout out to my co-host on Political Dysfunction, Hunter. He was the one that showed me this platform, and basically I'm just hoping that this quality comes out great and that this platform works better with the mic that I have, because I spent like $300 on this mixer and the mics that I have and the headphones and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully that all that money didn't go to waste. Like season one, episode two, I know, guys. I know you don't even need to say anything. I know it was so bad, and I apologize for that. Anchor doesn't like Rockville Auto that I use. Skype doesn't like it all that well. So hopefully Iris does, and we're gonna go ahead and see about it upon the publishing of this episode on Sunday, which is today. You guys are hearing that now. So thank you guys so much for listening. We, you know, appreciate the listens. Make sure you check out Political Dysfunction. You know, Thursday the 18th, first episode came out. Talked about the two-party system. And you know, that's basically what political dysfunction is we're trying to be the middle ground for the Americans that, you know, aren't represented by the two-party system, which is the vast majority of us. So make sure you check out Political Dysfunction. It's going to be very professional, very well done. Utah Liberty Talk will be under that network. And you know, it's going to be fantastic. So make sure you go check out Political Dysfunction. And with that being said, thank you all for listening so much. I hope you all have a great day. Hope you all enjoyed this. Thank you all. And I don't know, maybe I need to find a good signing out phrase or something like that, like TR for Freedom out, or David out, or Live in Liberty, or I don't know, something like that. So if you guys have any suggestions for sign-offs that you guys want me to do, I'll go ahead and do that. Yeah, so I don't have one for this episode. Guess it's about marriage. So my sign-off will be, always remember to pick your battles with that, and don't be willing to die on any mountains fighting against your partner you aren't willing to die on, I guess. I don't know, I guess that's my outro for it. I was gonna say something like keep on fucking, but I don't know. Whatever works for you guys. Thanks so much, and y'all have a good one. Keep on fucking.